Coming to the Messiah, big deal, I'm hungry. Let me eat. Fasting? I don't want to hear about fasting. Are you kidding me? I was working all day. Do we have our Christians talk like this sometimes? They do, don't they? I don't want to hear about my birthright. I'm hungry. You can have it. He kicked his birthright for a bowl of lentils. He was faithless. He did not believe in the coming of the Messiah. So that's why the one brother would take the widow of the brother who died to raise an heir for his brother. So the child that would come, he would take the name of his brother. And after the one brother died, the other brother did not want to do this. He did not want to raise a child for his brother. So he had relations with Tamar, but the Bible says, and I repeat, he emitted outside on the ground. And this displeased God, and God killed him. So, it is sinful when we separate the pleasure from the purpose. Masturbation is a sin. However, it is curable. It's a passion. The spiritual fathers, if they are very understanding, they can very, very easily help the person along. They can be very sympathetic than they are. And after once or twice, a few months, a person can stop doing this. It's a passion like anything else. However, it is a sin, and with a good spiritual father, this can be eliminated and avoided. Is there romance in paradise? And would we have our husband and our wife in paradise and our children right next to us? Believe it or not, I think we talked about this a couple of years ago on the Larry King show. This was in this circular, this magazine that goes around, it's called The Sword, and that's where we read it from. 2 years ago on Christmas Eve, there was on the Larry King show, and it was Billy Graham and some other preachers, and Larry was kind of instigating, as he usually does, and he asked the Reverend Graham, would we have sex in heaven? And believe it or not, maybe he wasn't thinking, maybe, I don't know what he was thinking, Billy Graham answered, if it would be necessary for our happiness, yes. And that's a very inaccurate answer, and I'm being very kind. I wanted to say something else, but I control myself. This is ridiculous. Christ speaks very, very plainly. As you can see, when we're under the cameras and national television, sometimes it goes to our head and we don't know what to say. It's scriptural. The Pharisees came up and they told Christ, let's say that, remember the example that I just mentioned to you? A brother had a wife and he died. And then the second brother took that wife. And then the third, and then the fourth, and the fifth died, and the sixth died, and the seventh. Now, the seventh one lived, I guess. When they go to heaven, whose wife would this lady be? And Christ says, you are in error because you do not understand the scriptures. In paradise, in heaven, in the kingdom of God, there is no marriage, because marriage and love and fireworks, all these things are a form of this life. a schema του κόσμου τούτου. It's a form of this life. Now, wouldn't you be upset if, let's say that one of us makes it in paradise, and then our child is not there, or our uncle is not there, or our grandmother is not there? Would not make us sad? No, because we will live the justice of God so strongly that it will not bother us. Some spiritual fathers say that God will erase their memory from us, but I guess that's a possibility. But no, it will not bother us, because we will not have this form. Once we die, we're all brothers, and that's it. When we die, we're brothers in Christ, and that's it. No husband, no wife, that's it. It's all a form of this life. So, relations and being in love and all this happiness, what's going to happen? Aren't we going to have these things in paradise? And how are we going to be happy there without these things? Believe me. These things, and just to give you an idea, when you're a little child, you had a little tricycle. What was the purpose of that extra wheel? So you got to keep you from falling. That's why God created these forms for this life, seeing that we would be falling. So he gave a husband, one wife, a wife, one husband, to have the children, to help each other to make it through this life. And after that, that wheel is gone. We don't need it anymore. Imagine an astronaut, is ready to get into the space shuttle. He's ready to fly. Is he going to be looking at his, at his car or his, his tricycle? No, he's ready to fly. Those things are gone. They don't matter anymore. They don't matter anymore. So all these things that we think are so great now, when we spend 99% of our times on these things to make a good living, so, to have a good occupation and be successful, so we can attract the right person and be happy. And we spend all these years on these issues. They will not matter when we get to the kingdom of God. Is abortion a sin? Yes. In all cases. Murder, 100% of the time. At times when the life of the woman is at stake and the doctors confirm that, I believe the church is very lenient at that point, Father. Sometimes we have to question that. Even though a young lady in Italy, she became internationally known because they told her that it's either you or your child. And she says, it's going to be my child. And she died. And her child lived. And I believe she's a martyr. However, I'm not very clear on that. But let's say this. We know that abortion is a sin, but I'm going to talk about this specific case because I was asked about this many times. We have science now coming in and doing amniocentesis. We go into the amniotic sac, we take a little bit of fluid, and we check the child. Not only want to know if it's a boy or a girl, or we want to know if it's healthy. And if it's not healthy, what do? In our mind, we feel that it's okay to eliminate this life. It is 100% murder. Does our church accept homosexuality? Arsenokitia. And St. Paul differentiates between types of homosexuality. He calls the one arsenokitia, where you have the active person in that sin, and there's another word for the passive person in that passion. Again, there's all kinds of scientific evidence out there today that people are born that way. And you read all these articles in these magazines that you may read at your work, at the dentist office. And if you read these articles, they have convinced the world that it's plenty of evidence now that people are just born this way and we should accept them because there's really nothing that they can do. I believe on cassette number 7 of the expanded version of the Ten Commandments, we spent a whole hour on this issue. And we showed time after time that every one of these studies, quote unquote scientific studies, were falsified. Every one of these studies was a study of a propaganda. These studies were could never be repeated experimentally. However, the leftist agenda, and they move in a very fascist style. Anytime they see a study like this, false or not, they print it. The Associated Press goes all over the world. They do this continually. I was just looking at a magazine. I think it was the Family magazine. I forget the exact name. It's one of those family magazines. And it had an article in there. I looked at it because it was pertaining to this lesson today. It was showing that 80% of the public disagrees with the subject matter of prime time. 70% of women disagree with this type of things that they show on prime time about the nudity and homosexuality. They disagree. 70, 80, as many as 85%, according to these polls. However, the powerful few, they do not care. They have a leftist front, and they want to shove this down people's throat because behind them is the Antichrist, the devil. Unfortunately, we are at the times now where watching television, prime time, it's like going through our garbage can. Now, granted, if you go through a garbage can, you will find a couple good slices of bread. However, they will smell. And what I'm trying to say by that is, you may have a wonderful show, a great show. You're sitting there watching, and every 15 to 20 minutes, the most provocative commercials will come on to pollute what you have been watching all along. Correct me if I'm wrong. So our church does not accept homosexuality because it is not only against the law of God, but it is totally unnatural. It offends nature itself. It is a sin 100%. It is something that it's learned. It's a learned behavior 100% of the time. Regardless if that child started to act funny at the age of 2 or 3 or 4. the couple had major problems in their relationship to begin with. That couple did not have a close union with Jesus Christ to begin with. And unfortunately, these things do come up later. Or we were not careful with our children. We entrusted them with relatives who had no spiritual fiber. Let's not trust our children with people that we do not know 100%. And let's not ever let our children sleep over. You may trust those people, the adults, but we don't know what kind of other people they bring into their home. And your children will never tell you if they were affected or not, because they feel very, very shy. They feel extremely bruised. They will not open up. These things will come up when they're in their 20s or 25 and they have issues. Even with relatives, if you do not have a close relationship with the church, we would be very, very careful. I know I'm being a little extreme, but it's best to be preventive. An ounce of prevention is better than pounds of cure. And to tie everything together, we will go to Corinthians, where St. Paul is dealing with these issues of the Corinthians. And again, we're doing these lessons to preserve some of our young people, just like those two kids in Easton. God bless them. And the one was saying, I wish you would have never told us all these things. If I didn't know these things, then it'd be fine. I wouldn't have any problem with it. But now I know, and I have a hard time. See, the other kids, they didn't know about these things, and they don't feel bad. They're having a great time. They're not. In the long run, they will not. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Neither fornicators. Anyone who has carnal relations of any kind before marriage, even an hour before marriage. Engagement is not marriage. So neither fornicators nor adulterers. What is adultery? A sin that takes place in the marriage, a third party in the marriage. It's a very heavy sin. And the only reason for divorce, the only reason, no other reason, scripturally speaking. Again, I'm always trying to speak scripturally. No other reason. Well, there's a couple other ones we'll mention. If the other person leaves the faith and is forcing you and your children to become a Jehovah's Witness or to leave your church, you will cut that person off. That's scriptural. St. Paul says, let your unbelieving wife go. Let your unbelieving husband go. However, if they want to stay and leave you alone and let you practice your faith, then hold on to them because you may change them. However, if they are an obstacle to you, if your right hand causes you to sin, what's the right hand? Father, mother, husband, wife, child. If the right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. You see, this is absolute. Okay. So divorce is allowed in the case of adultery. Irreconcilable differences are no reasons for divorce. And know this as well. Christ says very specifically, anybody who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Okay? So when you're dating, about 6 months before you get married, okay, that's the proper time to date, about 6 months before you get married. Okay, let's say a year. And while confessing to your spiritual father. So, fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites enter the kingdom of God. So, do homosexuals go to hell? No. No, we cannot say that. Because it's like any other sin. They can repent. They can repent by the grace of God. Everything is possible. With a good spiritual father, they can be healed. And they can go to paradise, the kingdom of God. However, to say that we accept you the way you are, and you don't have to change a thing, we just help them to commit suicide. We help them to commit suicide. Again, we do not accept this as Orthodox Christians. It is outside of the laws of God and outside of the laws of nature. And St. Paul says, and such were some of you, and this proves it, that we can be washed. And that's why we have these lessons. If anybody slipped and fell, and even the older ones, if some of these sins were not taken to confession yet, even if they were 20, 30 years old, doesn't matter. It is time to take them to confession, eliminate them, get them out of the way, and then we simply live the Christian lifestyle. And St. Paul confirms that such were some of you, the Corinthians. Some of you were thieves and covetous and drunkards, and fornicators, and idolaters, and homosexuals, and sodomites. But you were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. So we expel the Spirit of God with these sins. When we repent, we go to confession, which is second baptism. Confession is our second baptism. We get washed again, and then we watch ourselves. We live the sacramental life of the church, and then by continuing in this struggle, we have the Holy Spirit of God, and then we will make it. Because when God is for us, nobody can be against us. But it takes struggle. It takes a lot of work. Agonas, the Greek word. We have to agonize over these things, and we have to fight these three enemies that want to take us along with the devil. See, the devil is very, very jealous. He's extremely jealous. He lost his glory, and he wants us to lose our glory. He was an angel of God, and he does not want to go to hell by himself. So now he's taken a high percentage of our people through these unconfessed sins. Because let's not be deceived. God does not show favoritism. If we have a problem, we go to our spiritual father, we take care of it. It's better to be a little bit shy now. And one of the questions is, I don't feel comfortable going to confession. I don't feel comfortable because what if the priest says something to another person? This is one of the other questions that we'll address another time. Well, I know, but I don't feel comfortable going to the dentist either. There's just some things that are not necessary to give us comfort. Needles are not comfortable, but we use them. This is not a matter of comfort. It's a a matter of eternal life. So you either become a little bit uncomfortable now by going to confession in front of one person, and you cannot do it in front of the icon. You do not receive remission of sins in front of the icon. Yes, you can go in front of the icon every day and say, Lord, I fell again today, I lost my temper, I did this, I did that. You can do that in your everyday, every night prayers. However, you also note these down and bring them to confession. And when we do that, then the Spirit of God illumines us, gives us strength, and day by day we become stronger, and we have a great hope of defeating these three great enemies. The greatest enemy, which is flesh, our passionate human nature, and then the world out there, the world of all the illicit pleasures, the world of sin, and then the last enemy, who is the devil, and he never sleeps. He never sleeps day and night. Any questions before we close?
Now that the day has come to a close, I thank you, Lord, and entreat that the evening and the night be sinless. Grant this to me, Savior, and save me. Now that the day has passed, I glorify you, Master, and I entreat that the evening with the night be without offense. Grant this to me, Savior, and save me. Now that the day has ended, I praise you, Holy One, and entreat that the evening and the night be undisturbed. Grant this to me, Savior, and save me. At all times and in every hour, you are worshipped and glorified in heaven and on earth, Christ our God, long in patience, great in mercy and compassion. You love the righteous and show mercy to sinners. You call all servants to the promise of good things to come. Lord, receive our prayers at the present time. Direct our lives according to your commandments. Sanctify our souls, purify our bodies, set our minds aright, cleanse our thoughts, and deliver us from sorrow, evil, and distress. Strengthen with your holy angels, that guard and guide by their force, we may arrive at the unity of the faith and the understanding of your ineffable glory. For you bless through the ages of ages. Amen. To the praise of our holy fathers, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and save us. Amen.